I'd like to have a little Bible study this morning. Appreciate your help and participation, but I'd like for us to look at the comparison of the wise and the foolish. The scriptures make that comparison in Proverbs quite a bit. Start off, I want to look at Proverbs 2 and 2. Proverbs 2 and verse 2 says, "So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." To start off, I want to mention that wisdom comes through the heart, the affections of man. It's not just a head knowledge. It's just not something that comes through the brain, but it involves the affections of man, yes, where our heart is. And so that's what he's saying here. Incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. So we have to apply our heart to seek after wisdom and understanding that God has for us. Who is the source of wisdom? The Lord. Yes. The Lord is the source of wisdom. You read in the Proverbs, and it brings out that before the world was ever created, the laws of wisdom was there. So wisdom is God. It's part of God's nature. And so God is our source of wisdom. Without God, we don't have wisdom. We can't have wisdom without God. So we need to apply our hearts toward God. And we'll read a few more verses that go with that. But it's very vital for us this morning that we look to God for wisdom and understanding, because He's the source of it. Apply thy heart to understanding. Also, Proverbs 2 and 10, it says, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul." So here again, it talks about wisdom entering into the heart of man, into our inner being, not just the brain, but the soul and the spirit of man. Proverbs 17 and 16. Brings out a thought. Says, "Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it?" It's like oil and water. Oil and water, it doesn't mix. Their characteristics, their traits, don't mix. And for a fool to pay for wisdom when his heart really is not in it, then it doesn't go together. It doesn't work right. So when we seek after wisdom and understanding, we need to work on our heart. There's another verse that talks about breaking up the fallow ground. Fallow ground, what I understand from fallow ground is ground that's just been allowed to set. You can cultivate ground, you can plow it up, but if you allow it just to sit by itself, what happens to it? What's that?
Weeds grow.
It gets hard. Does that happen to us?
Sometimes.
It can. If we don't work on our heart and cultivate our heart, things begin to grow that shouldn't be growing. Weeds grow. Things that we don't want there that will pretty soon bear fruit and cause us trouble and heartache. A garden, you have to tend it. You have to take care of it, because I remember when we lived here and we had a nice garden, you could walk out there and you just feel the softness. We put manure and cultivated and tilled it up and the manure. But I remember being out there one day on my hands and knees, and I just scooped up some of the soil, and it's full of seeds. And I thought, no wonder. No wonder I'm slaving. You look at it, look like, I don't know, 70% of it was seeds, weed seeds. And it had to be, and that's the way the human, us humans are. There's seeds there that will destroy us if we just let them go. We let them take over. So when we're seeking after wisdom and understanding, we need to cultivate our heart. We need to ask God to help us to have a tender heart to be able to receive it. Said a fool doesn't have any heart to it. In other words, he doesn't have a heart to receive what God has for him. And so we want to have a heart that's able to receive what God has for us. I want to notice another text here in the beginning of Proverbs. The first chapter. And the seventh verse, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, of understanding, of wisdom. But it says fools, they do what? They despise. They despise wisdom. We could write, that's one of the things that they do. Despise. They despise wisdom. They despise many times God. They despise the Word of God. But the fear, what is the fear of the Lord? What's that?
Beginning of wisdom.
But what does it mean to fear? What's he talking about here? The fear of the Lord. It's not the fear that I'm just afraid, is it? It's not a fearful, the fear that has torment, but it's a deep reverence and honor towards God. Now, I want to tell you what happened to me when I wasn't raised in a Christian home. But the Lord dealt with me in my youth. He dealt with me when I was young. And I remember rejecting different times. The Spirit of the Lord would come to me and visit me, and He would give me feelings like, you need to live for God. Those thoughts would come to my mind and my heart different times through my youth. You need to give your heart to the Lord. You need to serve God. You need to go to church. You need to read the Bible. Those thoughts would come. I didn't know that was God knocking on my heart's door. I didn't understand that. I just thought that was my own mind. But since then, I recognize that the Holy Spirit, that's how He knocks on our heart's door. It almost seems like it's just us, but the Spirit of the Lord, it's a voice where He knocks. And it's with those thoughts. It's like, you need to live for God. You need to serve God. You need to do what's right. You need to quit doing what's wrong. I had all those dealings, but a lot of times I would push it away. That's foolish, isn't it? It says, fools despise wisdom. Fools despise that knowledge, that understanding. And what does that do? That begins to harden the heart. That I'm not able to receive the knowledge and the wisdom that God has for me in my life. And when you read through the book of Proverbs, that it gives that comparison over and over about the wise and the foolish. But what I wanted to mention, when I finally yielded my heart to the Lord and I began to pray and I began to seek the Lord, I remember it was just like a light came on in my inside of my spirit. It was like a light came on, and I remember thinking, why didn't I see this before? Why didn't I understand this before? It was because there was things in my heart. My heart wasn't in a place to receive what God had. And now it was in a place because I'd humbled myself before God and I was praying and I was seeking Him. And it was just like a light came on and I was able to understand. So when we seek after God and we seek after wisdom and knowledge, we need to pay attention to the condition of our heart. To humble ourselves before God and to recognize our need of God and to recognize, and one of those places is a place of repentance. That's humility. It's where I recognize that I have failed God in my life. I recognize the places that I had sinned and that I came short of the glory of God, and we begin to repent from those things. Lord, please forgive me of my sins. Forgive me for not taking heed to You and listening to You and for closing my heart's door to Your dealings. Forgive me of those times and those places. And when we do that, the word of the Lord, it enlightens. Another scripture talks about, it said, the entrance of Thy word giveth light. The Lord lightens our mind and our understanding and our inner being, our spirit, we're able to understand and comprehend what God has. Now I want to notice another thing about wisdom, and that's seen in the life of Solomon. What was Solomon praying for? And what did he not pray for? He prayed for wisdom. What did he not pray for? He didn't pray for riches. He didn't pray for long life. He prayed for wisdom and understanding. And God was pleased with that request. You know, that lets us know something about His heart. Also, at that time, when you read and study that, what was taking place in Solomon's life? What was he doing? You remember? Huh? He's applying himself. Do you remember reading about the sacrifices that he was offering? He was offering God sacrifices. He was giving himself to God. That also lets us know about the condition of his heart. He was seeking God. He was giving to God. You know, instead of just living for himself, instead of just following his own plan for his life, he was seeking God. He was giving to God, and he was praying to God that the Lord would impart to him wisdom and understanding. His heart was in the right place. And that's why God was able to give to him wisdom and understanding. You know, the Lord, He wants to give us wisdom and understanding, doesn't He?
Yes.
Doesn't He want to give us? Does He want to just withhold wisdom and understanding from us through life? No. He wants to pour out wisdom and understanding. But we have to have our heart in the place to be able to receive His knowledge. If our heart is not in the right place, then we won't be able to get what God has for us. It'll just pass right on over us. But the Lord has a place for us to be able to receive what He has for us. And we recognize that in Solomon's life. He had a heart to serve and to give. Okay, I want to notice now in we'll read verse 4. It says, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. He said, a wise man will hear. What does that mean? Does that mean
listen,
It means that you listen with your ears. But what happens if the heart is not in it? Have you ever heard the saying, goes in one ear and out the other? We heard with our ears, and Jesus mentioned this. He said, you have ears to hear, but you don't hear. You have eyes to see, but you don't see. And what did he say? He said, because your heart is waxed gross. See, then he's referring to the heart again. The heart waxed gross. That gross, it means it's like a callus. When you have a callus, when you have a big old thick callus on your hand, it becomes insensitive. You don't feel. You don't really perceive. You lose touch. And that's what happens to the heart of man when we follow our own course and we just do what we want to do and we follow. And just through the cares of life and the responsibilities, our heart becomes calloused. But a wise man will hear. He will listen. So we can put that over on this side. What's the foolish, the opposite? Doesn't listen.
He just hears.
You know, have you remember different places in the scripture talked about Mary? It said Mary pondered these sayings in her heart. It means that she really took it in and she meditated and she thought and she was considering. She was weighing. She was really thinking about what was said. She was pondering in her heart. And that's a characteristic of a wise person. Have you ever not listened? I think we all have. Does it cost? It cost us.
They don't listen because they already know.
Okay. A foolish person thinks they already have it. A foolish person, they don't listen because they've got it all figured out already. But a wise person doesn't have that. They don't have that attitude and that spirit. They want to know. They're listening. They're hearing. You know, when it talks about don't have to read all that now, but it talks about wisdom crieth in the streets. She uttereth her voice in the chief places of concourse. It says, "It's how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity and the scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof, and I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you." You know, we can observe in life. We can listen to the way people have lived their lives. We can see the way, the attitude that people have lived their lives. And how has it turned out? What kind of fruit has it borne? What kind of happiness and contentment has it brought in their life? We can look all around us in the world. Wisdom cries all around us every day. We can see things and we can say, I see what they did when they refused to listen. When they refused and they rode on and they did their own thing and they didn't listen to counsel and they had an attitude that they knew it all and they just was going to do their own. There was stubbornness there. I can see that. I can see the consequences. I can see the suffering. I can see the price paid. And I can think, I don't want to go that way. I don't want to follow that course. I don't want my life to end up that way. And we can turn. Wisdom cries out to us. So wisdom listens, it hears. What else does it do? Another scripture I wanted to get, maybe we don't have to turn to this one, but Matthew 7:24, it talked about the rich man. He had, let me get that right quick, make sure that's the right one. Matthew 7. No, that's not the one I was thinking of. But I was thinking about the rich man that tore down his barns and he built bigger. And it was spoken to him, said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those riches be that you've gathered up?" Now, this man, he had, can we call it worldly wisdom? You know, in Pilgrim's Progress, it talks about worldly wise men. He had knowledge. He had understanding to be able to gain riches. He had skill to do that. And that can be very deceptive to us, because it looks like they're prospering. It looks like things are going well. It looks like everything's well. But he said, "Thou fool." Yes. The Lord, that wasn't the true wisdom. He had his values in the wrong place. He had misplaced values. And that's another characteristic of the foolish. He called him a fool, is misplaced values.
We're going to write that up here.
The scripture is in Luke 12 and 16. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully.
Okay.
He talked within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow all my fruits." And he said, "This will I do. I'll blow down my barns and I'll build greater. Now I'll bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then who shall all those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God."
Okay. Lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. But when you look at it just from the surface, it looked like he had some knowledge and skill and wisdom to be able to gain those things. But it wasn't the true wisdom that comes from God, because his heart was in the wrong place. What do they value? Where's their heart? What do the wise put their value on?
Things eternal.
Value the eternal? The spiritual,
yeah. Instead of just the temporal. That cuts close to us, because sometimes we can put more emphasis on the temporal than we do the spiritual. Lord, help us today to value the Lord, honor the Lord, honor His Word. We value His Word. It has a high priority in my life. I seek after it. I'm looking to it. I'm seeking it. Relationships are important, aren't they? Value relationships. I believe God wants us to value our relationships more than just the temporal things of life. There's so many different things that a person's heart can be set upon. Okay. What are some other things that are characteristics of wisdom and the wise. Anything come to your mind?
Patience.
What's that?
Patience.
Okay, patience. Okay.
Doesn't just speak everything that comes to his mind.
Okay, so he's patient, he's thoughtful, he's weighing, he's really giving it consideration. Is there a scripture that talks about the patient? The patient in spirit are better than the proud in spirit. They're waiting, looking to the Lord. And, you know, if we've... I know we've probably all failed in some of these areas, but we want to set our heart on these characteristics of wisdom and to seek after them in our life. We want them to work in our hearts and our lives. So patience is a very vital one. Another scripture it talks about, in your patience possess ye your souls. We can make some grave mistakes by being too quick. Acting, responding, just doing. We need to stop and be patient and think, consider. And as we do that, as we develop that, we'll find the Lord will begin to speak to us in those times. If we stop and we, Lord, what do you want me to do here? What would you have me to do in this situation? God will begin to bring things to our mind to help us. And when I think about wisdom, there's a scripture that talked about the excellency of wisdom gives life. When we follow the ways of wisdom, it gives life to our... It gives life, it gives hope, it gives encouragement, it gives strength to us, our circumstances, and those around us. It's a tree of life. Wisdom is, it's life. And it bears good fruit in our lives when we have it. Okay, doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Okay, well, one verse talks about a wise man's eyes are in his head. So he's able to see, he's able to recognize. And we can do that too. If we are, we cultivate our heart and we're looking to God and we are seeking Him for wisdom, the Lord can give us eyes to see. And we don't have to go through life having a life full of failure. We can have a good life. We can make good choices. We can make good decisions. We can have wisdom because God has made it available to us. All right, patience. Proverbs 14 and 15, it kind of goes along. Some of these overlap. Proverbs 14 and 15. Says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Okay? The simple believes every word, but the prudent man, he looks well to his going. In other words, he studies. He ponders in his heart and he considers. One below it right quick. Let's get that one real quick. I missed it. I should have had it earlier, but 16, it says, a wise man feareth and departs from evil. That's wisdom, isn't it? When we know something is wrong, or if we know that something is questionable, that we turn aside from it and we depart from it. That's wisdom. But it talked about the fool, he just goes on and he's punished. He just overrides. Another place, let's see.
The last part of 16 says the fool rages and is confident.
Okay.
He doesn't even realize.
The fool rages and is confident. Can we put the word self-willed?
Anger.
Okay. Anger resteth in the bosom of fools.
Let's see.
Now, do we get angry?
Yes.
We do, don't we? Anger is a human emotion. Don't look for an experience where you don't ever feel anger. God gets angry, right? But we don't allow our anger to control us. We don't allow the anger to rule and to have sway in our lives. We can bring that anger to God and He can help us. Anger, how can I put that?
Controlled
by anger. They're good. Thank you.
Foolish would be uncontrolled. That's called mad.
Mad?
Mad is uncontrolled anger.
Okay.
Mad.
That's good. Uncontrolled anger.
But be angry and sin not.
Okay. Be angry and sin not. So when we feel angry, that's a temptation to us. It doesn't mean that we've sinned if we feel angry. God feels anger. In the Old Testament, you read, the anger of the Lord was kindled. It means that His anger was hot. He got upset. But when we feel angry, that's a place of temptation to us. And that's where patience comes in. That's where prayer comes in. That's where we go to the Lord and say, Lord, here, I'm upset. I'm angry. Help me with this. But a fool doesn't do that. A fool just, he'll throw the hammer. He'll do whatever's at hand that causes great damage. But remember, talked about wisdom. It said it's a tree of life. Wisdom doesn't bring death. It doesn't bring hurt. It doesn't bring regret and remorse. That's the way of the unwise. The way of the wise, it brings life. Okay. Does anybody else?
Speaking of anger, the Bible speaks of us as he that does not control his own spirit, like a city that is broken down without walls.
Okay.
No defense.
Okay.
I have actually seen in my experience in my people who had a misfortune of some sort, and in their anger did something that was far more disastrous than the law that they were angry about.
Yes.
And ended up ruining $1,000 or $10.
Yes. I got a scripture for that one, Brother Kenneth. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Proverbs 21 and 20. It says, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. In other words, And what I get from this is that there's discipline. There's self-control. Self-control, mad, you know, that speaks of being out of control. So the Lord can help us. Do we need God's help in these things? Is it just something that we can do within ourselves? You know, you can work on yourself for the rest of your life and you'll never enter into what God has. You know, you can try all kinds of things. But through the fear of the Lord, through some of these things we've been talking about, we can have our inner eyes opened and we can begin to walk in wisdom and understanding. And the Lord can give us self-control over what? Our tongue? Can He give us self-control? Can the Lord tame a tongue? Or is it untamable? Huh? The Lord can tame our tongues, can He?
But we have to yield to the Spirit.
We have to yield to the Spirit. So all of our human appetites, the Lord wants those to be under control. All of our human appetites, He wants those to be under control. If it's out of control, then we're in trouble. And we get in trouble. And we cause trouble. But the Lord can help us to bring those things. Proverbs 18:17, it says, a fool's mouth is his destruction. He just says what he feels. It just goes out. But the Lord doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to be able to control our words. Bite our tongue if we have to. Pray. Do whatever we need to do. But the Lord can help us to control our mouth. Okay. Yes.
So you know, so many people can't say yes or no without adding a modifier to that. Yes. And then people began to use bywords and ultimately use vulgar language, God's name in vain, all because they have to control their anger in such a way that they give a vent to it and they just can't say yes or no, they have to add something to it.
Yes.
And I thought about that, how easy it is for us just to start using little bywords, you might say, that aren't necessarily maybe slang just a little bit, but they're not really curse and they're not vulgar and they're not using God's name in vain. But it's the first little indicators that I have found in my life of me losing control of my anger,
okay,
my frustration that I encounter in my life. And so I endeavor to work at those little things to avoid fear.
Yes. There's a... How is a fool known? Okay, what's that? How's a fool known? There's a verse that talks about that. A fool is known by multitude. A multitude of words. You see somebody that just talking all the time. Lord help, help preachers, huh? But somebody that just talks all the time, it says a fool is known by a multitude of words. So if we're talking, we're not listening, are we? We're just bringing out. There's a time to talk. There's a time to listen. The Lord can help us to be balanced. Any other distinguishing characteristics that come to your mind? Okay, he's thinking of others.
A fool is all about me.
Self-centered. And that is seen with Solomon, wasn't it, in his prayer? He wasn't praying for riches or long life. So self-centeredness, we want to be able... There's another verse that mentions that Proverbs 11:12 says, a fool despises his neighbor. But a wise man is considerate and kind towards his neighbor and helps to be a blessing to him.
A wise person thinks long term.
Okay.
And a foolish person thinks short term.
Okay.
Think about the consequences. Think long term.
Long term?
Foolish person just lives for the moment.
Long term, and how would I word this?
Immediate gratification.
Immediate
gratification.
Gratification. Yeah.
I'm not even sure how to spell immediate. That's true, isn't it? It's foolish just to live for the moment. People can lose so much just on a moment's time, moment's temptation. Anybody else?
A wise person seeks the truth.
Okay.
Truthful.
Seeks for truth. Okay. And we read that in the Proverbs so much in the very beginning, where he tells him to seek after knowledge and cry after it as silver and seek after it as for hid treasures. He's seeking after truth. Any other
just.
What's that? Okay, just, fair balance. There's a scripture that comes to my mind. It's talks about the wisdom that's from above is pure, without partiality. Help me on that.
It said the wisdom that is from above is first pure.
Okay.
Peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy.
Okay. That's the wisdom that's from above. All those characteristics, peaceable, gentle, without partiality.
Easy to be entreated.
Easy to be entreated. Are we approachable? I believe, we weren't there when Jesus walked, but I believe Jesus was approachable. You know why? Because he took the children. Children, they won't go to someone that's not easy approachable. They fear and they shy away from someone that's not, that they are afraid of. But the children came to Jesus. They were there. So I believe he was easy to be entreated. I believe he had that kind of humble spirit. Okay, I wanted to maybe close with the verse in James that James 1 and 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. You know, if we need wisdom and understanding, if we'll cultivate our hearts and we'll seek after it, you know, pray, and Lord, I don't want to be selfish in this request. I want to follow what you have. I want to follow your leadings in my life. I don't want to follow my own. I believe that's one of the things, self-centered, self-willed. That's part of the foolish category, and we don't want to be that way. But God can give us wisdom. He can give us understanding. Maybe sometimes we feel like we need greater wisdom and understanding. The Lord can give that to us if we come to Him. And while we're praying for it and we're seeking it, let's cultivate our hearts and make it a ground that can receive what God has for us. You know, the scripture talked about the heart and the seed being, it talked about the ground that was hard and the ground that was rocky and the ground that was all the cares. Those are conditions of the heart. The stony ground, the seed was planted in that ground and it came up, but it lacked depth. And when a hard place came, they gave up. It wilted. The plant wilted. The ground that had the weeds growing in it, the thorns, it said it choked the word. You know, when we've got too many things in our lives that are distracting us and We live in that type of world today. People are too busy. They're overcharged with cares and respect. And the seed that God wants to give to us, it can't grow in that kind of heart. It can't produce in that kind of heart. But the heart, the honest heart, the heart that's been cultivated, humbled, the Lord can plant a seed in that heart. And it can begin to grow. Any heart that has been cultivated, the Lord's seed can grow in it. It doesn't matter who we are, it can produce fruit in our lives. But if we lack wisdom, we can ask God. He is the source, and He can help us and give us wisdom. Thank you for your help today. Appreciate it so much.